Open your Bibles to the 18th chapter of the second book of Moses, commonly called Exodus. Exodus chapter 18, verse 1. Hear now God's word. When Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all what God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, and that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt, then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back, and her two sons, of which the name of the one was Gershom, for he said, I have been an alien in a strange land. And the name of the other was Eleazar. For the God of my father, said he, was mine help, and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife unto Moses into the wilderness, where he encamped at the Mount of God. And he said unto Moses, I, thy father-in-law Jethro, am come unto thee, and thy wife and her two sons with her. And Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and did obeisance and kissed him. And when they asked each other of their welfare, and they came into the tent. And Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done unto Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and all the travail that had come upon them by the way, and how the Lord delivered them. And Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, Blessed be the Lord, who hath delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of Pharaoh, who hath delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods, for in the thing wherein they dealt proudly, he was above them. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrifices for God, and Aaron came and all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning unto the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto even? And Moses said unto his father-in-law, Because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them to know the statutes of God and his laws. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, The thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them by the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all seasons, and it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge, so shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall also go to their place in peace. So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law, and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel, and made them the heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And they judged the people at all seasons. The hard cases they brought unto Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. And Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way into his own land. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. I told you at the last service that this was that chapter following the prior chapter where Moses learns that he's not alone. Moses learned that he was not alone on top of the mountain when he was unable to hold his arms up and pray for the people. He learns here that he's not alone either, that he is to appoint men to aid him to judge, that he needs not bear that burden alone. But before we get there, let's take a look at a couple of other things. First of all, Jethro is no stranger to our study in this book. We've seen him before as the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, one for whom he tended sheep in the wilderness. So as he comes out here, we remember him from before. And then also, there is a difference among scholars as to the exact time of Moses and Zipporah's separation. Some say it took place at the inn when Zipporah circumcised her son. Others believe that Moses would have taken his wife into Egypt with him and upon his return to the environs of Midian sent her on ahead to her father at that time, only to be reunited. We need not trouble ourselves as to which was the case, except to say that it's more probable that they were Zipporah was with Moses in Egypt, and that when they came back to Midian, he sent her on ahead to spend time with her father-in-law while he set up the logistics of bringing the people in. At any rate, we have not only the reunion of Moses with his father-in-law, but also with his wife and sons who accompany him. Thus, it was necessary that the leader of the people might, in his familial relations, show a good example. We give special notice to Moses in the naming of his two sons. We have seen this before in Scripture, and we see it here with Moses, where in the naming of his sons, he expresses his faithfulness unto God. The naming of the first son is Gershom, which means stranger in a strange land. And the other, Eliezer, right? You know what that means, right? God is my hope. Or, I'm sorry, my help. My helper, right? My stone of help. The Eben Ezer. It's the same Ezer. The stone of help and Eli, God, my God, Eli Ezer, my help. My God, my help. So as we have previously discussed, although separate from his people for a time, Moses was not a faithless man. Although he spent much time tending Jethro's sheep, he spent 40 years tending Jethro's sheep. The birth of his sons during that time evidenced that he still held fast to his faith even while he was separate from the people of Israel. Moses was not a faithless man. As a matter of fact, it was through this separation that Moses was to become that for which he had early hoped, the deliverer of Israel. Notice also the anachronism that Eliezer was named before the deliverance of Israel from Pharaoh, exhibiting Moses' faith in the impending struggle. God is my help, and yet God was his help, was the name that he gave long before the Lord evinced himself to be such a great help of the children of Israel in the Exodus from Egypt. So then Jethro, by means of a servant, sends to Moses, identifying himself that he has Moses' wife and sons with him. Verses 7 through 12, then, we have the reunion, the happy reunion of the family. Note that Moses, even though he is reckoned the leader of that nation of Israel at this point, still, because of his understanding of the fifth commandment, and yes, I believe the fifth commandment existed before Sinai, does obeisance to his father-in-law. He bows down before Jethro out of great respect as his wife's father. There is a respect due to those of authority, especially in this case as being the father-in-law of Moses. It is proper that he should pay his respects to Jethro. We also note that Jethro is a priest of Midian. He is a worshiper of the Most High God. He is not, if you will, a part of the seed of Abraham, the chosen people, and yet there is something that that Jethro knows of the Most High God. He is a priest of Most High God in Midian. And so, Jethro is, it seems, properly consecrated as a priest, and Moses pays his respects for that as well. So then, Jethro has heard of the great deliverance wrought by the Lord on behalf of Israel. He bestows upon Moses the high honor of inviting him into his tent. This is an ancient Near Eastern custom, speaks of great respect, honored guests. And Moses fills him in on all the first-hand details. What does Jethro do at the details? He rejoices. Great rejoicing. Are you affected? Are you so affected by the rejoicing of your brother and sister? Do you rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep? Or are you too busy? Got too much to do. Too many other things to think about to stop and rejoice with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, Jethro's not too busy. He's going to rejoice with Moses for the great deliverance from Israel. Very interesting. We have in the next section, when the rest of the elders of Israel are invited and they eat bread with Jethro before God, this is some sort of covenantal meal that they partake of. It says that they all ate bread before God. And so it's a covenantal meal. They are professing their faith in the same God, in Jehovah. And so we have a grumbling nation and a reforming priest meeting together. That Jethro is the first fruits, if you will, of the heathen nations that would come and worship the Lord. We have a covenantal meal shared between the elders and rulers of Israel, those very ones that represented the entire nation in receiving instruction and implementation of the Passover, and the priest of Midian, who before this time practiced perhaps a corrupt religion, worshiping the true God by name among other gods. And we also have this Midianite priest so overwhelmed by the goodness of the true God that he offers sacrifice to him and says that he is greater than all other gods. So we have a priest who is reforming, who is being brought into the true religion more and more. And we have the grumbling children of Israel. Very interesting that they should meet. In these things we see Jethro as the type of all the heathen. That is, those outside physical Israel who will come from the north, south, east, and west and sit down in the kingdom of God, to put it in our Lord's words. He's to be contrasted with the murmuring nation who have in the main refused to praise the true God instead of having instead murmuring against Him. Next, verses 13 through 27. To the end of the chapter. Very, very sweet and humbling passage for Moses. So, Moses sits down, and apparently this is a particular day of the week or a particular time of the season when they knew that Moses would be sitting to judge. And so Moses sets his chair somewhere, maybe it's just outside in the field. And they all come to him with their disagreements. This guy said this to me. This guy looked at my daughter funny. This guy has, 400 head of my cattle that belongs to me. This guy over here put his sheep where my sheep were grazing. So there's all of these disagreements and all of these squabbles that the children of Israel are involved in. And so Moses says, well, somebody's got to judge between these people. So I sit, they bring their case, and I judge and I tell them what to do. I speak to them as the prophet of the Lord to them. And Jethro says to Moses, well, this thing that you do, it's not good. Now we might recoil from that immediately. We might think, well, what do you mean it's not good? They needed somebody to settle their disputes. They needed someone to arbitrate for them. Of course, it's a good thing. Well, it's good in one sense. You're right. It is good in that sense. But it's not good in the other sense that Moses is going to wear himself away. Moses is going to burn himself out. Moses is going to ruin himself trying to keep up with all of the squabbles of the people. And so Jethro has a brilliant idea. Seems like Jethro is a man of great society. He understands how to set things up. And so he says, what you do is you make men over 1,000 and men over 50 and men over 1,000, 50, 1,000, 100, 50, 10. Thank you. 1,000, 100, 50, and 10. Now, he's not talking about 1,000 people. He's talking about you put one guy over 1,000 people, right? And then you'll have another guy that's over 10 of those guys. And you have another guy that's, in other words, there's a system of graded courts. And all the things that are too hard for you, they'll come to you and you can settle it. But they're the ones that come up to you. Many people have seen in this passage the opportunity of an appeal. Well, that's not really in view here at all. Basically, what you have is you have when a particular court says, you know, we can't handle this. We need help from greater wisdom. And so that's how it's expanded in that way. So let's see the particulars here. We learn in this passage to measure our abilities. Moses has the best of intentions, but his physical abilities do not match his desires. We must all learn to measure our days. We do not want to wear out. We also learn to offer good counsel. Jethro here does Moses a kindness by telling him what he's doing is not good. Sometimes it's not easy to hear. So we learn to receive counsel as well. Note that he is not perversely judging, nor is he arrogating to himself powers that are not rightly his, but that he will wear himself out. That's the part that's not good. And the people as well, having to wait so long upon one man to judge the entire nation, and that will lead to chaos, won't it? They'll start short-circuiting the judgment process and taking from one another what they think is their due. We learn also to receive good counsel. Moses hearkens to the voice of his wise father-in-law, for the counsel is good. So often people want to ignore good counsel simply because it's an injury to their pride, not their own plan. We learn also to seek the Lord in the giving and receiving of counsel. Jethro first hints that his counsel is of the Lord and God shall be with thee in verse 19, and then openly refers the matter to the Lord in verse 23, directing Moses to inquire of the Lord as to the propriety of the course he has suggested. And then at this point we have a separation between ecclesiastical and civil elders. You say, how do you see that in the passage? I didn't see that. Well, before, the elders, the ecclesiastical elders, have already come and eaten bread with Moses and with Jethro before God. When it was time to institute the Passover, Moses called the elders of the people, and calling the elders of the people, gave them the instructions for the ordering of the Passover, and through the elders of the people, it disseminated into the nation. Well, now we have here a set of, if you will, ecclesiastical courts, ecclesiastical elders that are separate from civil courts that are separate from those ecclesiastical structures that we've already seen. So we're differentiating our elders here. That's what we see here. Notice that they are both ruled by the Word of God. Both civil and ecclesiastical elders are ruled by the Word of God. The qualifications for civil office, note, able, that means he's strong, vigorous, able to withstand the rigors of judging the people. He fears God, that is, he remembers that he wields an authority under God, that his is not an absolute tyranny of his own whim, that he is a man of truth, so that he will be able to recognize the truth when it is heard between men and men, and that he hates covetousness. That is, one that will take no bribes, that he will not be influenced by the dollars of the lobbyist. And then finally, we see the application of the counsel. Good counsel is of no avail, my friends, unless it is put to use. Right? So thus ends the reading then of Exodus chapter 18.